options, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with host mother-daughter team Dr. Gloria Call Horsley, marriage and family therapist, and Dr. Heidi Horsley, both experts in the area of grief and loss. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi dedicate this show to their deceased son and sibling, Scott, and to all of the parents and other family members who have lost loved ones before their time. Each week, Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and their guests will share stories of loss, hope, and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Each week, we welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who've suffered the loss of a child or a sibling. And as always, the message is others have been there before you and made it, and you will too. You need not walk alone. Good morning, Heidi.
Morning, Mom.
It's nice. It's a nice day here in California. How about in your area?
Gorgeous. Beautiful.
Good. Well, before we introduce our guest today, I wanted to talk about a couple of things. One of the things that I want to talk about is recently I was talking to a man who had not lost a child, and when he heard that I did the show, he said to me, "Oh, you never get over it, do you? I'm so sorry." And he said, "I don't know how you can do a show like that." And I said to him, "You know, the wonderful thing about this show is that you do have things happen in your life." And how would you respond to this?
I guess I would say to him that yes, you never get over it, but you do learn to live with it. And you know, our grief is always with us no matter what, because we have lost one of the most important people in our lives. I mean, I lost the only brother I'll ever have. However, I've got to tell people, because you know, I'm 23 years out, and I've got to tell people, although I always have grief and I always miss Scott and I always will, my pain has lessened over time, and it's not as intense. And sometimes I was telling people the other night in the sibling loss workshop that had just had their brothers die 5 years ago, that sometimes your pain and your grief get in the way of memories, and you get terrified that you're going to forget your brother. And when you're 23 years out, you know, when you're 23 years away from the death, you actually sometimes have better memories, because my pain doesn't get in the way of my memories anymore. And I have some wonderful memories of Scott, and I want everyone out there to know that there's good memories ahead for you, things you can't remember now about your kids and about your siblings that you'll be able to remember years from now that you don't have memories of right now.
And there's joy and pleasure in life. And those first couple of years, it is just so, so difficult, we know, for you folks out there. Well, another thing I want to talk about is Heidi was in the Daily News.
The New York Daily News. It's a weekly newspaper in New York, or a daily newspaper, I mean.
And it talks about the web. Lost pals stay alive on the web, and it talks about how teens are using the web. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but you can pick it up on our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. So please go there to hear that. And Heidi, people have been lighting candles for Scott on his website that you can go through our website to get to. And please light a candle for your own child and leave their name there. We love to have those names.
That's why I love the Internet. It's a virtual community where you can log on 24/7 and grieve and connect with other people.
It's really wonderful. Another thing I wanted to mention is how Heidi and I enjoy being a resource for you folks out there. We got a letter from a woman whose daughter was a son. Was involved. Her name's Mary, and she's from Hudson, Wisconsin. And Mary says that her son killed his girlfriend and then killed himself. Mm-hmm. And she is in such pain and wondered if we had any resources. And we were able to email some of our friends out there and able to find a resource for her. Donna Cohen at the University of Florida has written just specifically on this topic. It's a complicated link, so if you need this link, please email us at our website and we'll send that to you. So it's great to be a resource, isn't it, Heidi?
Yes, and thank you so much for that email.
Yes, very, very difficult emails. All right, Heidi, would you like to introduce our guests today?
I would love to, and these are two people that I think are so wonderful, and we've had their daughters, Carrie and Lauren, on our show, and I've met the two people that I'm going to introduce right now. And our topic today is Through the Eyes of the Parents, The Murder of Our Son on September 11th, 2001, and our guests are Patricia and Bud Kiefer. Patricia and Bud are bereaved parents whose only son, firefighter Michael Vernon Kiefer, was murdered at the age of 25 in the September 11th World Trade Center attacks. Michael is a hero to the nation. However, to his family and friends, he was also a devoted, loving, and extraordinary individual. He gave his very best, fulfilled his calling, and died doing what he loved. Patricia and Bud share their story in honor and memory of their precious son, Michael, and all those who were murdered on September 11th. Welcome to the show, Mike's mom and dad, Pat and Bud.
Hi.
Hi, Pat and Bud. It's so great to have you on the show, and it was wonderful to have your daughters on the show, too, Lauren and Carrie. And if people would like to hear that, they can go to our website, and it's a July 29th show. I mean, excuse me, June 29th show. And it's archived there. It's a wonderful show. And we want you to remember that all the shows are archived on our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, and on the Compassionate Friends website. They can be downloaded 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and you can also download them on your iPods. Well, Pat and Bud, how great to have. What a great daughters you have. And I know you guys called in. You're a wonderful family. I was just looking through this fantastic book that your family did for Michael, and I love the picture on the front. He's sitting on his lifeguard chair with a whistle in his mouth, pointing, and with such a grin on his face. What a beautiful man Michael is and was.
I can tell you that when that picture was taken, we were at the beach, and he had just become a New York firefighter, which he wanted to do his whole life. Since he was 3 years old, he wanted that. And he was also a lifeguard at Long Beach in New York. And we were down at the beach that day when that picture was taken, and he said to us, "Who has it better than me?" He said, "I'm an FDNY firefighter, a Long Beach lifeguard," he says, "and I love the world."
That's amazing. Most people go through their whole life and can never say that.
He really accomplished. He was 25 when he was murdered, but he really, you know, when I think back, he accomplished every goal in his life that he wanted. His most important thing, he was very religious. His religion was important, very important to him, and his family came first. Everything else, nothing materialistic meant anything to him. It was all about, you know, the natural things, nature, and just doing the right thing. That was his favorite saying. He always told his sisters, whatever you do in life, do the right thing, and family comes first.
So his priorities were really in place.
Yeah, it's almost like some people say you don't go until you get life right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sometime in my heart that although he was only 25, that he got it right.
Yeah.
He did things right, and maybe that's why God took him.
So now tell us on September 11th where you were, and he was actually an FDNY firefighter. He was in Manhattan?
Yes. I think my
he was in Brooklyn.
Oh, he was in Brooklyn.
But he was in FDNY. Brooklyn Firehouse.
Oh, that's right. Of course, Brooklyn's part of New York City, right?
Right.
For we people who are out in California. Yeah, so he was in Brooklyn, and what happened? Maybe Dad would like to tune in on this and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I was at work. I worked downtown. I was like blocks away from City Hall. And for people that don't know New York, it was 10 blocks away from the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
That morning I was in work, and it was a beautiful day. As the days are out here now, and that brings back memories, too. Just the blue sky, the smell in the air, the sunshine, everything. I'm sitting at my desk, and I heard this loud noise. They were doing construction across the street at the courthouses, and I looked out the window, and I thought that maybe they dropped something or whatever, and there was nothing. And then there was commotion on the other side of my building, and people came running over, and they say, "You have to see the Trade Center." So we went to the south end of our building. I looked out the window, and the whole Trade Center was just a wall of flames.
Mm.
And without getting too graphic, the terrible things that I saw that day still haunt me.
Yes, with people jumping, and yeah, I think we've all brought up those pictures.
Yeah.
Or seen them, yeah.
And as we're watching this, and it's not registering in your mind, you know, that this is actually happening, I saw the second plane come around and hit the South Tower.
Uh-huh.
Everybody started screaming, you know.
So you actually saw that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What a shock.
You you know, they just, we have to leave the building because I worked in a federal building, which is a target. Every day was a bomb threat. So we all went outside, and again, there was just mass commotions. I still hear the sirens, the screaming, you know, everything that was going on. So in order to get out of the city, we walked across the Brooklyn Bridge over to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
We're going to have to come up on break now. And, you know, what you're telling me now about this experience, it was traumatizing even if you hadn't had what you did have, an incredible experience. So we're coming up on your break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and please stay tuned to hear more from the Kiefer parents, In the Eyes of Parents, the murder of our son on September 11th.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, this is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. Many of you have asked Heidi and me about our forthcoming book for parents on helping teens deal with loss. We are pleased to announce that the book will be published by Rainbow Books and will be available in your bookstores spring of 07. Visit our website for the quote of the week, as well as information on our next book, Keeping Your Marriage Strong After a Profound Loss.
Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of sitting around while life passes you by? You can get back on track by tuning in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time for Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. Attracting Abundance is the program that empowers you to finally break through your limiting beliefs and blocks and shows you how to succeed in all areas of your life, from improved financial abundance, health and weight problems, as well as your relationships. Don't wait another week to be joyful. Listen to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look, this Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Omega Institute is the country's leading center for holistic studies. Now you can experience selected workshops from Omega in the comfort of your own home. Join us for a live web broadcast with John Friend, the founder of Anasara Yoga. In this dynamic workshop, we learn the Hatha Yoga system that is a celebration of the heart and looks for the good in all people and all things. To find out more about our live web broadcast, log on to our website, www.eomega.org. That's www.eomega.org. Or call us at 800-944-1001. That's 800-944-1001.
Do you want to live a more productive life in spite of your pain? Pain is something that has happened to you. This is not who you are. Tune in to Pain Tamers, time to control your pain. Become your own best advocate. Become informed, equipped, and empowered to fight chronic pain together with Pain Tamers, time to control your pain, with host Helen Dearman, every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Voice America Health and Wellness. Your life, your health, your network.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
The Grieving Heart. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heidi, with my mom and host, Dr. Gloria. Our topic today is Through the Eyes of the Parents, the murder of our son on September 11, 2001. And our guests are Patricia and Bud Kiefer. Pat and Bud are bereaved parents whose son, firefighter Michael Vernon Kiefer, was murdered at the age of 25 in a September 11th World Trade Center attack.
They share their story today in honor and memory of their son, Michael, and all those who were murdered on September 11th. Welcome back to the show, Mike's mom and dad, Pat and Bud.
Welcome back, Pat and Bud.
Oh, and Gloria, welcome back.
Yep. Well, I just wanted to say to our audience, if you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi and me and the Keepers by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, and the Compassionate Friends website. They can also be downloaded on iTunes. We're also on selected radio stations in the United States, and you can find out what stations those are by visiting our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. Well, Pat and Bud, when we went to break, Bud was telling us that he worked in the federal building, right?
Yes.
And actually saw the World Center, Trade Center attacks on September 11th, and with a whole group of people had to get out of the area, went down the elevators, and is crossing the Brooklyn Bridge with a group of people. And I was saying just as we went to break that that is such an incredibly traumatizing experience, mm-hmm. let alone what happened to you later.
Well, in hindsight, it was, and it just, you know, some of those memories you try not to, to dwell upon, but it still haunts you. You
know, isn't it kind of difficult, too, with them being shown on TV constantly?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And as I say, you know, we had to leave the city. I didn't think it was a good idea to get on a subway train, so that's why we elected to walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. And as we're doing so, I could see all the rescue vehicles coming from Brooklyn over to Lower Manhattan, a lot of fire trucks, ambulances, and whatever. And I kept saying, gee, I hope Michael is okay. I hope Michael is okay. Now, he was a probie, and being a probie, he's not allowed to talk too much about his job for the first year, so I didn't know where exactly in Brooklyn he was.
Wow,
I later found out that he was like 5 minutes away from the Trade Center.
Oh, my.
As we're walking across the bridge, and I'm thinking of this, I don't know what made me turn around, but as I turned around, at that immediate moment, the South Tower came down.
Wow.
And the feeling that I had, it was like my stomach was coming through my body, you know. Mm-hmm. And I later found out, or we heard from varying accounts, that that's where he was. He was in the South Tower, you know.
So you had kind of a feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And so
you went home in confusion, the girls said, and
nobody
when they were on the show.
Yeah, nobody knew anything. Calls were made to the firehouse. All they said was that he's at a command post. That's all that they knew, and it went on for hours and hours and hours until we, got the word that there was no hope.
Mm-hmm. We never got a recovery up until now. We've never recovered anything of our son.
No. It was almost like he
just went
to his job and just left the face of the earth.
He just disappeared.
Yes.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
So some of the things that he did leave behind, though, Bud and Pat, are these wonderful, wonderful letters he wrote. They're part of a book that your family's done up for Mike, in Michael's memory. Is there some way people can get this?
They can go ahead, Pat.
Absolutely. If they can get in touch with you, you're more than welcome to,
get in touch with you. Okay,
yeah.
If you're interested in reading more about Michael, you can get in touch with me about getting this wonderful book. But I asked Pat and Bud if I could read a bit from one of the letters Michael wrote. They're wonderful pictures. He wrote so many things. I just don't know anybody who wrote so many things.
Well,
he wrote letters to everyone.
He wrote loving letters to the entire family and all his friends, and people kept them.
I mean,
it's just so great.
Amazing that there's so many things here. But the letter I want to read, just part of this letter, is from, just to give you a flavor of how this Michael felt about his family and about what kind of a guy he was. Christmas of 1996, he wrote, "Dear Mom and Dad, I am just writing this letter to tell you both how much you really mean to me. I went shopping to buy you guys a gift, but everything is so expensive, and I didn't have a clue what to get you. I figured I would sit down and write you a letter. Let me start out by saying how much I love you both. I really think you guys are my best friends." And then it goes on, and he ends it, "I love you both, your son Michael." What a fabulous, fabulous memories you have.
And he wrote similar letters to both of his sisters. I mean,
yeah.
it's amazing. Fabulous.
Just incredible letters. Well, what have you done? It's been 5 years now, right? One of the things that I wanted to ask you about this, and I want to talk maybe after the next break about some of the things you've done to remember Michael and some of the things that you recommend to others, but I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about the fact that when we first wrote the show for June 29th for Lauren and Carrie to be on, The World Lost a Hero, We Lost Our Brother, I had put down that he died, and Pat, you let me know. You called into the show during break and said he was murdered.
Right. Absolutely.
And I would like you to talk about that a little mm-hmm. bit.
Well, I cannot, if somebody asks me, I have to say that my son was murdered because that's what happened. You know, it wasn't like he just...
It was an accident.
To some people, there's not a difference. You know, he's gone, no mm-hmm. matter how you look at it. But to me, in the violent way... And he had no warning of anything. He was murdered. He was murdered. And like I said, we've recovered nothing of him. And it's just like as if he was walking down the street and somebody did something horrible to him. And, you know, the other things that you read in the newspaper of how these poor people are slaughtered, that's what happened to him and all the rest of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it very important to me to use the word murder.
Mm-hmm.
When I say it, I don't know. It just makes me feel like I'm really telling the story.
And is this difficult, Pat, to have, and Bud, to have such a public loss, having a son die in 9/11 and having it kind of the world's tragedy? Has that been difficult, or has that been supportive and helpful?
I think it's a combination of both, because sometimes I feel, well, if people didn't talk about it, I feel like now it's going to be 5 years, and so many people have really... forgotten about it, whether you can believe it or not.
Maybe not with the same intensity, but I don't think people have forgotten that event. But can you log in for a minute? You were going to just say something, too.
No, I was going to say that I feel that it's difficult because of the fact that this is in your face every single day
mm-hmm.
Through TV, through the radio, through newspapers, just people talking on the street, you know, there's not a day goes by that you're not reminded of this.
Bumper stickers.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know when it's going to come, so you don't have control over those things that are, those memories that are going to come in. You don't have control over when you're going to see something that reminds you of 9/11.
Exactly.
A newspaper or whatever. You could
be
in the grocery store, right, and all of a sudden it's on the front page.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's things that have been said about 9/11, detrimental about the families and, you know, different things, and that hurts.
Right. You know, absolutely.
What you have to get across is that people have to, don't believe everything you read.
Yeah.
I think so many people know that already.
Yeah, that's one of the things after break we might want to talk about a little bit about the media. And I just want to log in one thing about murder, too. Murder is really complicates the whole issue of loss also. A lot of anger we find out from our listeners and from people we deal with connected with murder. So I think that it's important that you do frame it the way it is. I think that's
mm-hmm.
a positive way to do it. I mean, to really, as you say, Pat, to really put it out there. Well, we're coming up on break,
okay.
And I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and please stay tuned to hear more from Bud and Pat Kiefer. Through the eyes of the parents, the murder of their son on September 11th. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. These shows are archived on our website, healingthegrievingheart.org.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate.
Autism One, A Conversation of Hope, hosted by Betsy Hicks, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Betsy offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, adult services, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, A Conversation of Hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, A Conversation of Hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope. Omega Institute is the country's leading center for holistic studies. Now you can experience selected workshops from Omega in the comfort of your own home. Join us for a live web broadcast with noted American Buddhist teacher, Pema Chodron. In this inspiring workshop, we learn the spiritual teachings that guide Pema in her daily life and how they are relevant for all of us today. To find out more about our live web broadcast, log on to our website, www.eomega.org. That's www.eomega.org. Or call us at 800-944-1001. That's 800-944-1001.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough.
Did you know your child's asthma attacks can be triggered by things like shower curtains, a blanket, even a teddy bear?
I feel like I'm choking.
And there are many other things in your home and your child's classroom you may not know about. For the latest information, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Help prevent your child's asthma attacks and avoid the emergency room. Call toll-free 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Or visit www.noattacks.org.
I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen. You know me for Chicken Soup for the Soul, the 1 Minute Millionaire, and Cracking the Millionaire Code. And what I want you to know is that if you want to have rip-roaringly good health, listen to Health Crusades by my friend John Farley.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
Grieving Heart, I'm your co-host, Dr. Heidi, with my mom and host, Dr. Gloria. Our topic today is Through the Eyes of the Parents, the murder of our son on September 11, 2001. And our guests are Patricia and Bud Kiefer. Pat and Bud are bereaved parents whose son, firefighter Michael Vernon Kiefer, was murdered at the age of 25 in the September 11th World Trade Center attacks. They share their story today in honor and memory of their son, Michael, and all those who were murdered on September 11th. Welcome back to the show, Mike's mom and dad, Pat and Bud, and my mom, Gloria.
Thanks, Hyde. Well, Pat and Bud, it's great to have you on. I've got this wonderful book that you've done on Michael's life with stories and his wonderful things that he wrote to everyone. And I'm just looking at this one because he's smiling at me almost, but he's got his arm around his dad.
Oh. His best friend, I might add.
Wonderful, wonderful picture. So when we went to break, we were talking a little bit about... I want to talk about the media. How did you guys deal with the media, and what suggestions do you have? Because we have some people out there listening who have lost kids in some high-profile cases and maybe even going through court cases right now.
Well, I'll just start, and Bud, you can take over. But I find that as far as the media goes, I've learned one thing. You know, no matter what you say to them, they're only going to pick and choose the lines that they want. And if they see you crying, you could talk for 20 minutes and be, you know, speaking, and as soon as you break down into tears, that's when the cameras start. You know, it's all about, they want to see the grief, and they want to see more than even getting the real story.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing I'll say is about that.
So they should, what you're saying is be aware that that's what's going to happen.
Right. Oh,
be prepared.
It's definitely going to happen. Now when they call, because the 5th anniversary is coming, now when they call and say, you know, they want to do a story, I just say no, because it's enough. You know, if you want to put down what I have to say, fine. If not, you know, you're going to pick what you want to put, I don't go for that. But I also have to say that I feel, being that my son was murdered, I feel almost cheated that I can't. Like, if it was by a single person and they were arrested and put on trial, I would love, as hard as it would be, I would love to be able to sit in a courtroom and see this person brought to justice, even though it would be very hard for me. But the way our situation happened, that, you know, that can't be. And it bothers me that I can't find the people that did this and have them brought to justice. So hopefully, if there are people out there that are listening, and it was, you know, someone was arrested for the case and all, I just feel, maybe I'm wrong, you would tell me, that it would make me feel better to be sitting as hard as it would be in the courtroom, but to see that person brought to justice.
Yeah, you know, one of the problems, Pat, and people tell us all the time, they really aren't brought to what they feel is justice.
Right.
Very
right.
Seldom. They get watered down sentences.
Mm-hmm.
They get let off.
And death is easy way out for them.
Well,
that's how I look at it, if they even got that, you know.
Yeah, well, the one thing that people do seem to get some satisfaction out of is now they're letting people do victim impact statements.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're able to read that. But our friends tell us who are involved in this that the person who, the perpetrator, seldom even listens to that, but they do get the satisfaction of doing that in court and hearing the judge. But other than that, there doesn't seem to be, people have told me there's not that great relief.
Well, with my impact statement, they probably would shoot themselves afterwards.
It would be that
that would give me happiness.
And that strong.
Maybe you should write an impact statement. We'll put it on our website if you want to.
Okay.
I'd love to put it on the website. But, and what's your thought about all this?
Well,
the media and
what comes to mind to me is it was a statement that was made by the chief of the department from FDNY. And he was talking about the memorial at Ground Zero and, things that have not been done to date. And his line was, we've gotten a lot of empty promises from empty suits. And that's what I feel like. In the beginning, you know, everyone was your friend and everyone wanted to help and everyone wanted to do this and that. And you'll call me anytime. And, you know, all of that has dried up. And the only reason now, if anybody does contact you again, is for their own gain, their own benefit, their own network, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
so what would you tell dads out there who are involved with some kind of high-profile case right now? What would you say to them about how to deal with the media or whatever at this time?
First of all, I would go with your heart. If that's what you feel like doing and that's how you feel that you're going to get some comfort, then go ahead and do it. But be prepared as to what is actually going to be broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, most of the time, it's not going to be exactly what you said. Things will be taken out of context for their own gain.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you need to be very selective
mm-hmm.
on who you talk to. And I assume that they don't allow you to see these stories before they print them, do they?
No.
Okay, they don't allow that.
I have to say, Heidi, I feel so honored that Pat and Bud are on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really do.
And it's tough. I mean, the 5-year anniversary is coming up, and I know that evokes a lot of emotion and a lot of memories, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit right now.
Hi.
Well, all of the memories I have of Michael are wonderful. I mean, he was just the perfect son.
Mm-hmm.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find comfort, my family find comfort in is we do 2 memorials every year for him. When we decided what we were going to do, he was a health nut, so we have a walk-a-thon at Long Beach where people can come down and just, you know, honor his memory. The other thing that we do is, him and I used to, he was 25 years old, but he was into the oldies music, the 50s music. mm-hmm. used to go to all the concerts.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a 50s night, and that's coming up this October 8th. His favorite group, Johnny Maestro and the Brooklyn Bridge,
wow.
are going to be there. And,
wow, that's great.
You know, so and they've been very supportive, you know, when they heard his story. And, you know, so all of that helps.
And all the funds go to the New York Burn Center.
Now tell us when that is again.
October 8th.
And anybody can come?
Anybody.
Yes.
Okay.
And all the funds go to the New York Burn Center, which is great.
Right.
And all the funds from, I noticed on the back of the book, also the memory book, it says, all please send money, you know, funds to the New York Burn Center in his memory, in Michael's memory.
Right.
I
they have a fund.
I have to tell you, 2 days, since Michael's fund was initiated, which was back in 2002. To date, we've raised almost $150,000 in his name.
Ah, for the Burn Unit. How great.
That's all for the Burn Center.
It's time for us to go for our final break now, and please stay tuned to hear more from the Kiefers, Through the Eyes of the Parents, The Murder of Our Son, September 11th, with Patricia and Bud Kiefer. This show will be archived on our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned to hear more.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set, or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Valium, Xanax, alcohol, Oxycontin, Percocet, Vicodin. Self-medicating by whatever means can lead to addiction. On Curing Addiction with Dr. Rick, noted addiction specialist and anesthesiologist, Dr. Rick Spinagle reveals the scientifically proven basis for successfully treating addictions by getting to the root of the cause of the chemical dependency. Topics ranging from brain chemistry and ADHD to anxiety, depression, guilt, and healing, Dr. Spinagle shares his years of experience to educate, inform, and uncover the truth behind addiction. Curing Addiction with Dr. Rick broadcasts each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Curing Addiction with Dr. Rick. Safe, compassionate, and scientific information.
Omega Institute is the country's leading center for holistic studies. Now you can experience selected workshops from Omega in the comfort of your own home. Join us for a live web broadcast with John Friend, the founder of Anasara Yoga. In this dynamic workshop, we learn the Hatha Yoga system that is a celebration of the heart and looks for the good in all people and all things. To find out more about our live web broadcast, log on to our website, www.eomega.org. That's www.eomega.org. Or call us at 800-944-1001. That's 800-944-1001.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-1001. 8580. Or go to PeaceCorps.gov.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heidi, with my mom and host, Dr. Gloria. Our topic today is Through the Eyes of the Parents, the murder of our son on September 11, 2001, and our guests are Patricia and Bud Kiefer. Pat and Bud are bereaved parents whose son, firefighter Michael Vernon Kiefer, was murdered at the age of 25 in the September 11th World Trade Center attacks. They share their story today in honor and memory of their son Michael and all those who were murdered on September 11th. Welcome back to the show, Mike's mom and dad, Pat and Bud, and Gloria.
Thanks, Hyde. Welcome back, Pat and Bud. Well, we're in our last segment, and we have a caller, Lauren, who just called in on the show. Lauren, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the show. I wonder if your last name's Kiefer.
This might be.
Is that Lauren and Carrie or just Lauren?
No, it's just Lauren.
Welcome to the show. Do you have any comments for your mom and dad?
Thank you. Well, I figured, you know, since mom and dad, well, mom got her 2 cents in on my show, I would call in and give my 2 cents on theirs.
Okay.
They called in to tell my sister and I how proud they were of us, and I'm calling in just to let them know how proud I am of them and how honored I am to have them as my parents. They have really, they may not think so, but been very strong throughout the past almost 5 years, and I know that Michael is very honored and very proud of them, that everything that they've done, and I could not have asked for two better parents, and I love them very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Lauren, and thanks so much for calling in.
That is so wonderful. What a great tribute to your parents.
Yeah,
Heidi, thank you for doing all the sibling things that you do for us.
I love it.
And I can't wait to see you at another one.
I'm honored to do it. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren, for calling in. Tell Carrie hi.
I will. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that is so great for you, too. Wonderful.
That's wonderful. And I don't think enough parents hear that from their kids, I'll tell you, as a sibling. I think sometimes we are a little hard. Sometimes we can be kind of hard on our parents because we're going through our own stuff. And I think it's so great to remember that we're all suffering and we're all going through so much and everybody's had this horrific loss of, you know, a sibling or a child.
Absolutely.
The whole family's in pain, so.
Well, Bud and Pat, before we finish the show, I wanted to ask you if you had some advice for our folks out there, our newly bereaved people.
Bud? Well, as Pat said in the beginning of the show, we belong to a parent support group, and it's all members of FDNY, people who have lost their sons on 9/11. And to be in that particular type of group with everybody has, you know, that day in common, that helps.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to share stories. We feel that we can laugh at that group and not feel guilty from an outsider's point of view. You know, oh, they're laughing, they must be better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to get better. You know, we are 180 degrees from the people we were before 9/11, so we're just trying to reinvent ourselves.
Reinvent yourselves, I like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and it's the people that you used to know, a lot of them don't understand that. There are a select group of people that, you know, what we say, they get it. And it helps us. And I would recommend to anybody that is going through this to get some outside help. Get, you know, go to a support group. Talk to other people in the similar circumstances.
And through Compassionate Friends, you can find a support group.
Yeah.
Hopefully in your area, and we have some wonderful national conferences, and then a lot of hospitals and other organizations are out there to support.
You also have to realize that a lot of the friends that you've had before your tragedy, you're going to find, you've thought of them as friends, but they weed themselves out. There's people that you just can't. You know, not that you're angry with them or whatever, but they just don't get where you're from. They don't take the time to, and they could be lifelong friends. I've had friends, you know.
Yeah.
And
you meet new friends.
And you, yeah.
Wonderful friends who are able to be there with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be there with you through it.
And Bud said to me on the phone yesterday that being in a group, you realize that everybody's on their own grief journey and everyone's on their own path, and there's not a right or wrong way to do it.
Right.
We're all getting through it in our own way.
Yes, absolutely. I know, and I always get this wrong in how many steps of grief there are. But, you know, it's 5, 7, whatever it is, but people should realize that if they look at that and they say, oh, okay, I've conquered step one, now I'm going to go on to step two, you may start at step four, go back to step one, go to step three, and, you know, it's a roller coaster ride of emotions.
Right. Absolutely. Our grief comes in waves.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for us to close our show now, and I want to thank our guests, Patricia and Bud Kiefer. Thank you so much. It's been such an honor to have you on the show, and I hope I'll get to meet you sometime.
I hope so.
It was our pleasure.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And if you want to know more about the event they're having for Michael, you can email us at our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, if you want to do their oldies night that they have. Please stay tuned again next week when our topic will be losing a sibling in adulthood, and our guest will be Raina Vaught Godfrey. Dr. Godfrey is a licensed psychologist in private practice in Denver, Colorado. Dr. Godfrey will discuss the impact of losing a sibling in adulthood and how it's often unrecognized. Raina is the bereaved sibling of Wesley. These shows are archived on our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Michael's life continues to touch thousands of people. We will remember him this September 11th and always. Thank you again, Pat and Bud.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Healing the Grieving Heart. Join us again next Thursday at the same time on Voice America Health and Wellness.